right, if you would please prepare your Bibles in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. We're going to look at four verses here, taken from the dedication that Solomon gave when he rebuilt the temple and rededicated it. And then we're going to look at a little bit of what he said there, and this will just get us started on a topic that I hope will be a help to you today. I wouldn't be preaching if I didn't want it to be a help to you. The title of the message today is, obviously, it's the heart of the matter. You can see that in your notes, hopefully. It deals with the heart. It deals with the condition of the heart, how it works. And we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. So, and Brother James is going to, I think he's going to try something different today. He's going to try to put those scriptures on the screen up here. So that'll help if you're not fast enough and don't want to flip pages. All right, so hopefully God will try to speak to our hearts today. Got a little bit of ringing, brother. It's a little loud, I think. In the Bible, the heart, it's hard to define. It's like a lot of words that have a meaning that cannot be defined with one simple definition. When you're talking about the heart, you're talking about the very center. You're talking about the core. You're talking about as far inside as you can get. A lot of times we refer to the heart as the part of us that contains our emotions and things like that. But really, in the scriptures, the emphasis, it's not on the affections, not on the emotions or the feelings. The greatest emphasis is on the center part of who a person is, their central motivations. And I haven't figured out how to divide the heart up and see where it fits in spirit, soul, and body. But I know it's part of the soul. It's who we are, of course. Other than that, I don't know what to do with it except let's look. Let's see what God says. God uses the word a lot. The word heart is used about 950 times when you count all forms of the word. For example, the Bible talks about being wise-hearted and willing-hearted. And the Bible talks about my heart's desire and says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You see all the different forms there. We're told whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man, unto men. So several forms of the word, but they're all pointing to the central part of each of us. 950 times. That's an amazing number of times. Try to do a word study on that. I've found out that whenever a word is used even just more than 100 times, it becomes very hard to do a word study. So much involved in doing that. And yet God gives us something here about the heart worth looking at here. We're going to look at how the heart works in our dealings with God, how our heart works in our obedience to God. So I hope it'll help you today. And so let's look here. 1 Kings chapter 8. We'll begin in verse number 37, and we'll read four verses there. 1 Kings 8:37. The Bible says, if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this bit of scripture here that we just read and all that we're going to be looking at today. I pray, Lord, you would help us to understand a little bit more about our hearts and help us to deal with them if we need to, Lord, that we might have a right relationship with you and with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. The word heart, in what we just read, it's mentioned three times in verses 38 and 39, Solomon says, these people, they're going to disobey you, Lord. He says, I know these people. You know these people, Lord. They're going to disobey. And because of their disobedience, they're going to go through different plagues, different trials, and all sorts of afflictions and things like that. But he says, Lord, if they see those things happening and they come to you and they understand the plague of their heart, the plague of their heart. Well, that's a powerful phrase right there. He says, if every man will understand the plague of his own heart, and that's the trouble with us, you know, we have a plague. We have a plague in our heart. We have something inside of us, and it's a plague. It will mess us up. He says, as they come and they understand the plague of their own heart, and they realize they need to turn to you, Lord, so they come and they spread forth their hands toward this house. He says in verse 39, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. So first of all, he says, every man has a plague in his heart, and he has to deal with that. He says, not only that, but Lord, you know the hearts. You understand what's really deep down inside of a man and what really makes him do the things that he does. You know, we look at the outside. That's all we can see. And sometimes that'll tell you what's going on the inside, but it doesn't give you the whole picture very often. We miss out on some things. But he says, Lord, you know what's in a person's heart. You know what's going on inside of them, and you understand those hearts. But he says something else toward the end of verse 39. He says, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. So again, he knows the hearts. But I want you to know something. I want you to see something here. He says, give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. So there's a connection. I hope you saw this. There's a connection here between the ways of a man and his heart. And so we're going to deal with this a little bit today. We've got several points, and I'll be going through several scriptures. Just want to give you some thoughts about the heart today. Your heart, that is who you are down deep inside. It's kind of the very center of your soul. That's the center and the core and the foundation of your being. And you need to understand that must first be right. Because if it's not right, what comes out of your heart, it's not going to be right. Okay, now as we look at these things, let me give you some principles about the heart. And that's really what the message is today. First of all, our ways are determined by our hearts. Okay? That's the first point I want to show you. Your ways, that means the way you live, the works that you do, the words that come out of your mouth, they're basically determined by your heart. There's a connection between the two. I saw that in this verse where he says, give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. In other words, a man's ways are determined by God according to a man's heart. Okay? You realize that two people can do the identical thing, and one person have their heart right, and the other person not have their heart right. And God's not going to, He's going to bless the person who had their heart right, if they're doing the right thing. And God will not bless the person who had their heart wrong, even if they were doing something good and right. You see, your ways are determined by your heart. Well, we'll look at some more verses here. First of all, let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. The Bible says, But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Okay, by the way, of course, this is dealing with the Jew. So let me just say this for you. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you are a Christian because something happened in your heart, not because you signed on some dotted line or said some certain amount of words or because you got dipped in water or anything else. It was because there was a change in your heart and you turned your heart to God and you submitted to His way and you believed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how salvation comes. All right, next in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, Paul, he's giving some instructions to servants here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, he says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart." Well, singleness of heart just means that you're doing it for the right reasons, without any hidden motives, hidden agendas. You're not saying, "Well, okay, I'll go ahead and do this and make it look good, but I'm going to go behind their back and secretly try to hurt them." You ever see somebody on your job with that kind of an attitude? You know, listen, I'll tell you what, if you work for a company, you ought to stand up for that company and give your support. Unless the company's doing something wrong, of course. But yeah, I've told you before, I used to hear people at my job talking against the company all the time, and they'd do it in front of the customer, the Kuwait soldiers, officers. The strange thing about that is, well, they gladly keep taking the paycheck from that company, the company they seem to hate so much. Kind of strange. And this is nothing new. It goes on all the time in every company, I'm sure. But he says, "Obey your masters in singleness of your heart." He goes on, "as unto Christ, not with eye service." Okay, that means not just when somebody's watching you. "As men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ." And here's the key. "Doing the will of God from the heart." Notice the doing is from the heart. Do you realize that what God is interested in is not simply what you do, but whether you do it from your heart? It's your heart condition. It's your heart condition. It's your inner core, that inner person. He says, I want to know whether you're doing it from your heart or not, not just if you're doing it. So we find, first of all, that our ways are determined by our heart. Secondly, God searches the heart in order to give to men according to their ways. Okay? God searches your heart in order to determine your rewards and how He's going to bless. You say, "Well, I thought He was just seeing how much I did outwardly." No, He judges according to your heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." And why does He try the reins? Why does He search the heart? "Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So do you realize God doesn't say, "I watch what you're doing so that I can reward you according to your doing." He says, "I look at your heart so that I can reward according to your doing." See, even under the law, God was looking at their hearts so that He could reward them according to their doings. So what was He judging them on? It was not that external activity. He was looking at their heart and where their heart was with God. And you find this over and over again. Proverbs chapter 24, In Proverbs 24, verse number 12, we read this. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Notice how you have a connection between how God renders to every man according to his work and God judging or pondering the heart. Those things go together in God's eyes. God says your works are judged according to your heart. Well, think about that. God's not just looking at what you do. He's looking at why did you do it? He's looking at how you were motivated and what caused you to do that. What made you want to do that? All right, let me show you the next one. Revelation chapter 2, verse 23. Revelation 2, 23. The Bible says this, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So notice, alongside of giving to everyone according to your works is searching the reins and hearts. That means there's a connection between your works and your heart. Okay, can somebody have a bad heart and do some good works externally? We've seen it. We know it's possible. But God says those aren't going to count for anything. Those don't count. But also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4, the Bible says this. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So Paul says, we're doing these things not to please men, but to please God, because he's the one trying in our hearts. Amen. Notice again, their actions are judged not just according to that outward activity, but according to their hearts. Why are they doing it? Okay. You know what we do? We get so used to everybody looking at our outside, and so we think that's where it's at. We think it's whether we're looking right, whether we're acting right. God says, no, that's not it. I'm looking on the inside. I'm looking at your heart. Yes. Let me give you one other verse. And here, this verse doesn't use the word heart, but I think you'll recognize that the heart is involved in this now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Okay, what is that fire going to check out? It says, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Okay, now based on these other verses that we just looked at, how do you think that God is going to figure out what sort your work is with that fire? Okay, he's going to have to look at your heart, isn't he? And that's the fire that he goes through. By the way, we're going to talk about that fire, part of which starts here on earth. And I'll show you how God checks out the heart. Now, I know I'm taking you to a lot of scripture. but some of you, I still hear pages turning when I start reading it. Sorry about that. Maybe I'm moving a little bit too quickly. But just keep in mind, I told you there's 950 verses about the heart in the Holy Bible. And I'm not taking you to all of them today. We're just looking maybe at, I think, 24 of them today. We're already through a third of them. So, but I'm trying to give you enough scripture to give you the overall idea of how God is looking at you. I think it's important. See, the thing is, we get stuck on the exterior. We get stuck on the image and what we look like and what other people see us looking like and how we see other people. Okay, but I'm trying to remind you that God is not looking at the outside. He's looking at what's inside. He's looking at the heart. So far I said this. Our ways are determined by our heart. And secondly, God searches the heart in order to reward. And now thirdly, the heart stirs up man to right action, correct action. Okay? It is from your heart that you get the energy, you get the zeal, the power to do the right things. God stirs up your heart to do those things. Now, look, you need some scripture to back that up, don't you? A lot of these are going to, these here, are, all of them are going to be from Exodus chapter 35 and 36. So let's read some of those. Exodus chapter 35. We'll just go through these quickly. Exodus 35, verse number 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord. Gold and silver and brass. So he's taking up an offering, and he says, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. By the way, that's the way we should be giving our offerings in the church. Amen?
Amen.
If you've got a willing heart, okay, good. Praise the Lord. Give with that willing heart. If you don't have a willing heart, keep it in your pocket. Okay? We don't want it. You say, oh, you if that's true, you'd never get anything. I don't believe that. I've said this before, and you know it's the way it is here, and you're still giving. And so it must mean that you are willing to do that. But nowadays they got seminars for preachers to go. They can go to these seminars where they teach them how to get the maximum offering out of the people. How to squeeze them just right. You know, they're even advertising. You know, you come to our seminar, we'll show you how to set things up in your church to make people give you more money with our new technique. And they'll even break it down into different categories. Here's a seminar how to get money out of the old people, senior citizens. Okay, hey, there's something wrong with that. You know what? It's not up to me to get the money. God does it. Or else we're getting it the wrong way. All right, Exodus chapter 35, look at verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. Verse 26. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Okay, so they're making things for the temple here. Verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. Do you know why sometimes you're not willing to do the right thing? Something's wrong with your heart. You say, well, I know I should read the Bible. I just didn't have time this week. Okay, well, how many hours of TV did you watch? Maybe we can get you a little extra time back somewhere here. You know, what are you doing with your time if you didn't have time to read your Bible, time to pray? Okay, do you realize everybody can say, I've got my time filled up. But what is it that you filled it up with? Okay, you say, well, yeah, but there's also things that we've just got to do. We can't let these things slide. The thing is, where is your heart Where's the heart? What's happening inside of you? See, a right heart is going to stir you up to do right things. If you're not willing to do right things, something's wrong with the heart. He says in Exodus 36, verse number 2, "And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." Okay, let's talk about wisdom. Talk about talents that the Lord's given you. Do you realize talent is nothing unless God has got your heart right and you got your heart right with God to stir you up to do the right thing with the talent that God gave you? Okay, you know what's done in the majority of churches today? A lot of churches, people have exalted talent so much that it doesn't matter whether the person who stands up, for example, to sing, they don't care if that person's got their heart right as long as it sounds good and it's impressive. Okay? As long as that person's good at what they do, they think that's all right. So you keep on encouraging that person who's got the talent, and you put them up front of the congregation week after week after week. A lot of times that person gets so proud because they know their talent will carry them, so they don't even figure that they have to be right with God. And it's about time some people said no to the people with talent who don't have their hearts right with God. There's always going to be somebody else. You know, if they don't work out in that church, they'll just go to another church. They'll take them in. All right, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. Verses 7 and 8. Ahijah, the prophet, says to the wife of Jeroboam here, 1 Kings 14, 7, "Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes." He says, David never turned his heart from me. You say, wait a minute. I know about David's history. Yeah, well, the thing is, David, he may have turned his heart to the flesh at one time. But he never turned that heart to a false god. And I think that's a lot of the emphasis there among some other things. But he says, David gave his heart to me. David had a heart for God. You read the Psalms, you'll see that very clearly. Now, we read one of them earlier today. And when David messed up, what did he do? He made it right with God. He didn't try to bury it. He didn't try to forget about it. He may have tried it once or twice for a short time, but he didn't live very well that way. You realize the closer you get to God, the harder it is to get away from him. And the more you've done for God, the closer you get to God, and the faster he's going to deal with you when you start drifting away from him. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you liked being close to God, though, didn't you? God, he's going to deal with you, keep you right, or try to. Listen, I am thankful that I have a God who won't let me get too far away from him. And I think that's something that ought to be the desire of every Christian, especially a pastor. Because if I get too far from God, I might start doing some things. I might start teaching something that's going to hurt this church. And so it's nice to know that God is, he's there. God is watching over me, ready to deal with me if I start going the wrong way. And that ought to be my prayer. That ought to be your prayer, that God won't let the pastor get out of his will for this ministry here in Kuwait. And I'm serious about that. I mean it. This is serious business. I would rather have God kill me than to allow me to do something that would mess up his name or mess up his church or his people. You know, the thing is, none of us are so godly that we can't mess everything up that we've ever done for God. None of us are at the point where we couldn't go off the deep end somewhere and get messed up with something and ruin the ministry that we began. So we got to get to the point where we say, whatever it takes, I want to be right with God. So he says, my servant David kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes. So the thing is, his heart stirred him up to do the right thing. That's what God says. Not only that, but my next point is, failure to serve God is a failure of the heart. I've kind of already covered this, and some of these things are somewhat related, I know that, but failure to serve God, that's a failure of the heart. Do you see somebody who says they want to serve God, but then you never see them do it? Because they never do. They never do anything. You know what the real problem is? You say, well, it's lack of motivation, maybe. No. You know what the real problem is? Well, they just don't know. No. Because there's always some things you don't know, but there are always some things you can do for God. You can do something for God. And the real problem is there's something wrong in their hearts. Psalm 95, verse number 10, says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Okay, they erred in their heart, and that's why they didn't know God's ways. Also, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 12. Jeremiah 18:12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. See, the thing is, when that heart is left open, you will do the imagination of your evil heart. So a heart that turns evil will eventually do evil. What is a person who has a bad heart? Think about this one. What would you call a person who has a bad heart but seems to have good actions? Well, that's what we call a hypocrite. Okay? They're hypocrites. They're just putting on a show. They put on something that's fake for you to watch. But eventually, their actions are going to catch up with their heart. Now, do people who have a heart for God, do they do wrong sometimes? Of course they do. I mean, sometimes we listen to the wrong things. But it's still a problem with our hearts. So a failure to serve God is a problem with the heart. And that's all. That's all we need to say about that point. The next thing I want you to know is that God seeks for those who have a right heart. Did you realize that God is going around looking for somebody who's got a good heart? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. It's the only verse we need to look at on this point. Deuteronomy 5:29. Deuteronomy 5:29, the Bible says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." So he says about Israel, "Oh, that they may have such a heart in them." So you realize that God, he's just looking and he's decided, I've just got to find somebody who's got the right kind of heart. He's looking for that heart. Will he find it in your house? Amen. A couple of other points. God tests man to see what's in his heart. I think this is probably about the most important point that we got here. Got about three verses on this one. But God tests man to see what is in his heart. Have you been tested? Have you recognized that test? How did you do? Okay. Let's look here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy tells a lot about how God works with Israel, but also how he works with his people. Are you his people? I am. Verse 1, Deuteronomy, I know your notes say Deuteronomy 8:2. Let's back up to verse 1. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." Okay, so first of all, he says, I have a land that I want you to possess. By the way, in a spiritual way, God has a land that he wants us to possess. And that is the spiritual life. It's the victorious or the abundant Christian life. And it's not a one-time thing. It's just something you got to fight for after you get it. Just like Israel had to fight for the land after they showed up there. But you know what? It's something God has for you. He tells us he wants you to possess your possessions. That's a biblical phrase from Obadiah 1, verse 17. But here he says in verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Okay. Now he said there in verse 2, I led you in the wilderness those 40 years to humble you, but also to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Somebody in this congregation today had something happen to you, and all it was God seeing what was in your heart. What did he find out? Okay. What did he find in there? Something went wrong. You went through some kind of trial. Somebody said something about you. You went through something else, some struggle. And God was just scratching underneath. He's saying, let's see what's in their heart. Let's try this. See, he's doing a little open heart exploratory there, see. And so what did he find? What did God find in your heart when he tested you today? Okay. You know what I'm afraid of? About 99% of the time, it's not very good what he finds there. What did he find in your heart today? You know, in any congregation, you're going to have days where you say, what am I going to do? How am I supposed to deal with this? God, he was just testing your heart. He's seeing what's in your heart, where your heart really is. Maybe he'll show you something about somebody, and he's just going to test whether you really love that person or not, or whether you do everything you do just because of what you get out of that person. He's going to let you see some things. He's going to let you hear some things. He's going to let you go through some things. He's going to let you do without some things also. And all he's doing is testing your heart to see what's in your heart. See, there's several scriptures like this. Let's just read a couple more here. Here, let's look at Deuteronomy 13, verse 3. Well, let's start in verse number 1. Deuteronomy 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Get some context here. Verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He says, some guy comes along, he says, I am a prophet. He says, not only am I a prophet, but I can prove it. And he does some great, wonderful sign or wonder. He says, now that you see the wonder, now that you see the sign, here's my message for you. We don't need to serve the Lord anymore. You should go after some other gods. And there ought to be some bells and whistles and alarms going off in your head when that happens. You say, well, no. You say, no, my heart's given to the Lord. I can't do that. There's something wrong. Okay? But God says he lets that kind of thing happen to test you, to see what's in your heart. You say, why is there so many false religions in the world? Could be it. To test you. Notice all these different things that God does. One, he put them through the wilderness. Another, he let them be exposed to a false prophet in order to find out what was in their heart. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31, the Bible is speaking about King Hezekiah, who had messed up. He showed the kingdom of Judah to the Babylonians. And he says this, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31. He says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him. He left Hezekiah to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. In other words, he let some flatterers come along to Hezekiah to try him, check out his heart. By the way, Hezekiah, he was a good king. God let some flatterers come along. These guys, they said, oh, king, you've just done a wonderful job in your stand against Assyria. We're having trouble against Sennacherib and those guys also. And we heard you got sick unto death, but you got well. That's amazing. Oh, by the way, we brought you these gifts. Hezekiah, he was just taken in by their flattery. Boy, they think I'm great. And why wouldn't they? I am great. And now that I think about it, I think I can trust these guys. After all, look, they brought me these gifts. And boy, that sure was nice of them. So he says, come with me. Let me show you all that we've got. Let me show you all of our national treasures, just so that you'll know what they are. But what happens is, 100 years later, Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to come along and drag off all of those national treasures. You know, let me show you all of our defenses and how our military operates. wait a minute. Maybe you should use a little caution there, Hezekiah. But, you know, maybe you should inquire with God about these guys coming along here flattering you. But the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 13, Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. See, the problem is these guys were spies, and he just exposed everything to them. And it sounded so innocent. It looked so innocent. But God said he's the one that sent those guys to try King Hezekiah, that he might know all that was in his heart. Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:15 that we are to walk circumspectly. You know, watching out. You know, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly. Circum, that's around like a circle. Spect, like spectacles. You know, that's what you put on when you want to see clearly. You want clear, sharp vision. Okay, you're to look around. Watch out with a clear, sharp eye. Paying attention. We're to be vigilant. That means awake and watching and unwatch to make sure nothing's coming in. You need to understand that sometimes something is coming in just to check your heart. And you got to find out where your heart is with God. So a lot of the things we go through, we go through those things just because God's checking out our heart. How did you test out? How did you do? And then my final point, our heart must be stirred up and prepared so that we may serve the Lord. Okay, so look what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Verse number 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse number 12. Interestingly enough, this was earlier in Hezekiah's reign when he was helping the people get excited about serving God again and doing things God's way. It was a time here of spiritual revival in the land. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 12, the Bible says, also in Judah, the hand of God was given them, was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. Okay? To give them one heart to do the commandment. All right, so God gave them a heart to do and to serve by God's word. You know what? We need God to give us such a heart to make our heart right. And then the last verse I want to look at today is in Ezra chapter 7. Verse number 10, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So the thing is, he sought the law of the Lord and he did it and he taught in Israel statutes and judgments. But before he did that, he prepared his heart so that he could do those things. We forget to do that a lot, don't we? So, you know, I'm having trouble serving the Lord. It's probably something wrong with your heart. You know what you need to do? Maybe you figured it out by now. Back where we started from in 1 Kings chapter 8, you need to recognize the plague of your own heart. You need to come to God. You need to confess the plague of your own heart. And you need to say, Lord, I need you to clean my heart. Would you make my heart right with you? And I think it's a long-term process in a way, but you can start somewhere at any time. You come to the Lord, say, Lord, there's a plague in my heart. My heart's not been right, and I want you to make it right. You remember when you first got saved? Every Christian to you at that point in time, they seemed so sweet, didn't they? Every Christian was to you was just dedicated, and they were there doing what they were doing for God's purpose. I mean, you looked around and you thought, oh, all the people in this church, they're just so godly. Look at them sing. Look at how they praise God. Man, there's just something about them. Boy, they just really know God. But you remember, do you remember the day you lost that innocence? The longer you're saved, the more you finally realize that there's a lot of things messed up among God's people. But once you get past that, I believe you can get that sweetness back. Have you ever visited old Christians in nursing homes? And I realize that's more of an American practice, putting your parents away in nursing homes. But maybe you've still had the privilege to be able to speak with an elderly Christian, especially the elderly ladies who just have this sweetness about them. They love God, and they're always talking about the Lord, and they're always looking for Him to come back. That's what I want in my life. I just want to get to the point where Jesus is just so sweet. And He is sweet. You just need to understand that you come to this point where you lose your innocence. Do you know that? you lost your first love too, though. Okay, that's the trouble. And somewhere down the line, you have to get back and say, Lord, I know a lot of things now that I didn't know before. I know that there's a lot of hypocritical people who call themselves Christians. I know that's not always, it's not always easy serving you, Lord. And I know there's some people there who are supposed to love me and who are supposedly above me and everything else. And sometimes, Lord, they say stupid things. They say things that hurt my feelings sometimes. And I'm not innocent in that regard anymore. But Lord, I can still have my heart right with you, and I can still have a heart for service to you, and I can still have my heart stirred up by God where I can give my all to you. You know, some of you just need to have God do some open heart surgery on you. We need God to give us some new life, some new blood to our heart, some new connections there to the Spirit of God. But it all starts by coming to God and saying, Lord, there is a plague in my heart. You know, I've seen people just get this bitterness of their soul. You know what that is? That is a plague in their heart. They got this anger at God, or it's anger at somebody else. They don't know it's anger to God. It's a heart problem. They have this thing where they don't want to do anything for the Lord anymore. It's a heart problem. What you do is you come back and you say, Lord, I've got a plague in my heart. Oh, would you help me? Would you help me to get my heart pure, stirred up again to the things of God? How's your heart? You say, well, how do I know how my heart is? Start noticing when God tests it and see if you pass the test or not. Figure out what He found out. You say, how do I do that? Well, I've had times where I'm just having the sweetest time with the Lord, and everything seems to be right in God's will in my life. Then all of a sudden I start looking at the waves instead of looking at the Lord. Some problem comes up. I lose my temper, and all this anger comes spewing out. And my heart just smites me. It's like God says, that stuff is still down there, isn't it, Bob? Mm-hmm. I just had to take it to the Lord. It's all you can do. Have to realize that my heart's still got some junk in there that's not good. It's got a plague in there. And we got to keep coming back to God. Keep saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Like David did. You say, well, how do I know what's in my heart? Look for the test. The test will be problems. It'll be things that you hear. It'll be people problems. It'll be stuff that goes on in your life. And how you handle that is going to reveal what's going on in your heart. And if what it reveals is not good, what you have to do is take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you tested my heart, and I didn't test out too good. I'm sorry, and I need you to help me work on this heart right now to make it right with you. That's what he wants to do for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us take a close look at our own heart. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to continue to do this, to be looking for those tests and to be doing everything that we need to do to try to make sure we have correct reactions to the problems that come our way, the people who try to get at us and who aggravate us sometimes. Help us, Lord, to remember that you're always looking at our heart and that our actions come from that heart. Help us, Lord, to have godly actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.